1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, have not charity, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. For now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Heavenly Father, thank you for this sacred and blessed chapter. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us, dear Lord, as we properly, and I think, Lord, biblically, go through kind of a examination of the year that we're getting ready to close out. And then, Lord, the excitement as we look forward to a brand new year, new opportunities, Lord, new goals. And, Lord, may it be in our hearts, every one, to improve year by year, to be better for you. And, Lord, more effective, dear God, in our lives as we interact with people. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I was taught and challenged in Bible college to pray every day for three things. I found this to be good advice, so I'll share it with you. I was challenged to pray every day for three attributes, three necessities, if you're going to be in ministry. Number one, to pray for power. Number two, to pray for wisdom. Number three, to pray for love. And that's a pretty good list. That's a pretty good list to throw on top of your prayer list as you pray for yourself. You say, preacher, you pray for yourself? Yes, absolutely. It's not a thing wrong in praying and asking God for things that you need, especially when those things that you're asking for will help you to better serve others and better serve the kingdom of God. Now, folks, we can pray about those things, but it's also important from time to time then for me to stop as I'm praying and say, Lord, how am I doing in these areas? I want to have the power of God upon my life. I ask God to let me know that. I understand, I believe, what needs to happen for that to be evident in my life, to keep the power of God on my life. I work very hard in areas. I want an anointing. I want Holy Spirit power. I think it's important. And so I need to look at that from time to time and say, am I doing what I'm doing? Have I begun to do it in the power of the flesh? Am I still blessed with the power of God? And to honestly look at those things. Wisdom, the Bible calls it the principal thing. It tells us to get it with all of our getting. And so I want to not just pray for wisdom. I want to do the things that the Bible says I need to do in order to continue to increase in wisdom. And there is some definite things that you can do. God doesn't just say get it. He tells you how to get it. But we're not going to preach about that tonight. And then this last matter of love. And this is a concern to me as I pray about it and look at my own life. Because I really want to have the love of God in my life. And it's so easy to talk about it. And so easy to use the word. It's so easy to say it sometimes. But from time to time, what a healthy thing and a good thing for us just to say, the love that I have and that I'm trying to share with those around me, is it truly a God love, an agape love? And so we're going to look at that tonight, and I'm going to pass out a little piece of paper here, a little checkup thing that I can give you at the end of the sermon that you can take home. I think sometimes it's just good to sit down and do some self-examining. So when we get towards the end of the message, I'll have the ushers help me and we'll pass out some papers. But first of all, let's look at this chapter and let's just do a quick overview of this chapter. There is a difference, folks, between mortal love, human love, and divine love. Phileo love is defined in the Bible as a shared love or love between friends. Affection is a result of personal attachment, shared interest, reciprocated affection. It is in essence, because of that, by its definition, it is in essence a self-love because the result is self-serving. Watch this. I love you because of the enjoyment I receive as a result of our relationship. The problem is this love often fails. There's no promise in the Bible anywhere that would tell you that phileo love never fails, but agape love never fails. Phileo love fails. Since it's reliant upon the participation of someone else, it can wane and wander, it can begin and it can end. But agape love is different. Agape love is from God. Man cannot manufacture it, buy it, create it, secure it, hoard it, or destroy it. We can simply channel it. But by doing so, watch this, we're touched by it. We're changed by it. We're transformed by it. It is the love of God lent to us to disperse to others. It's amazing. It's undefinable in many ways. In fact, if you look into the Bible, there's only one definition in all the Bible for love, and this is it. God is love. That's the only definition. In this chapter, we don't see love defined, but we see love described. And in the describing of love, we listen to a description of God. And so what we do is we take what we say is love, and from time to time what we want to do is hold it up against the example that God has given us of what true love is and make sure that we haven't fallen away from channeling and using agape love in our life and just fallen back to relying on phileo love. Now, folks, let me remind you this, because I want to remind you that agape love, it's different. It's based upon the character of the giver, and it requires no return. It is a decision. I love you. God loved us. I mean, we love God because he first loved us. Folks, there was nothing lovable in us. He simply chose to love us. It's a decision. I love you regardless, forever. As God hath chosen to love me, I choose to love you. Not because of what you are, because of what I am, but because of who God is and because of what he allows me to have. I love you, period. It's settled. By the way, that'll take you all the way to your 40th and 50th and 60th anniversary celebrations, folks. That kind of a love. Only Christians, listen to me, young people, don't miss this. Only Christians can give agape love. Phileo love comes from the soul, which means the mind and the emotions. Agape love flows from a reborn and surrendered spirit. A man imparting to another agape love is man at his best. And I remind you of that because, listen to me, it's not ever the will of God. It's not the will of God for you to marry an unsaved person. For one thing, you have, because you're saved, the ability to give that person agape love. They do not have the ability to return that love. And so you're entering into a relationship that is not equal there. Agape love has supernatural impact. Because it is divine love, because it comes from God, it delivers a divine touch and a divine message when it's used. It reminds those of us who were created that there is a creator. Watch this. It awakens an awareness of the invisible God. It stirs a longing to find something lost. It paves the way for conviction and conversion. Agape love is the forerunner of evangelism, or it should be discipleship. It should be the same way John the Baptist. It's the John the Baptist of Christian growth and complete surrender. And agape love is a special, special thing, and it's described in this chapter. I want to preach this, and I can't because I got a lot of material, but let me read this to you. Preacher, how important is agape love? If you, just listen and kind of pay attention on purpose, because I'm not going to do anything for about 4 or 5 minutes to keep your attention except just rely on you to give it to me. But let me give you some verses and try to sell you on this. How important is agape? Who cares? Isn't phileo love enough? I mean, is it really worth all I have to do to be filled with the Spirit, to access through the fullness of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, which is love, agape love? Is it worth it? Yes, it's worth it. How important is it in the eyes of God? Watch this. Agape love is the first fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Agape love is required in both the first great and second great commandments. Thou shalt love, that's agape love, the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Folks, listen to me. There's no way you can obey the first and second great commandments without agape love. Agape love is the quality of love that we are commanded to show our enemies. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies. That's agape love. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them that which despitefully use you. You'll never do that with phileo love, because phileo love doesn't operate in that arena. Agape love is the divine attribute shared amongst true believers that will identify true believers as genuine. Jesus said in John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. It's the identifying factor that tells everybody that you're a genuine Christian. Agape love is the motivation behind our obedience to Christ. If ye love me, keep my commandments. It makes obedience easy. Agape love activates the promise of Romans 8:28. Well, we quote the first part of this verse a lot. We need to quote it all. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Agape love shown to our neighbor fulfills the law. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. That's only possible if we tap into agape love. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. That comes through agape love. Agape love is the primary gift that a man is commanded to give his wife, and the primary gift that a woman is to bestow upon her husband and children. Husbands, love your wives. What kind of love? What quality of love? Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. We're talking about agape love. Agape love active. Agape love in a purified church. Active in a purified church. A spirit-filled church should be shared without guile in all pureness and fervently among the brethren. Seeing ye have purified your soul in obeying the truth of the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Agape love should not be given to the world, but instead should be reserved for God and others. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I know that's a lot, but folks, I hope if you just listened and paid attention, how in the world can we decide as Christians that we're going to operate in any type of a successful manner in the Christian life and not tap into to agape love? And so here at the end of a year, it's good that we take a moment and just say, Lord, search me in this matter, this specific area of my life, and make sure, dear God, that my love is being perfected, that I'm growing in this area of my life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in the first three verses, we have some statements they made that are quite astonishing. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Words is the subject here. Words, no matter how eloquent and divine, without love soon become irritating and empty. You can say that you love somebody and not love them. Love is not proved by words. Love is proved by actions. I believe that love is not a noun. I think it's a verb. How about this thought? Spirituality in verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains. Folks, this is, wow. Now, that's being a pretty good Christian. That's spiritual power right there. And have not charity. Look at the last four words. How sad. I am nothing. So we can work to be as spiritual as possible. But the honest truth is, if all we do is work on our spirituality and don't work on making sure that our spirituality is motivated and empowered by the love of God, then God says, that's nothing. That's nothing. And the last one says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Sacrifice, no matter how noble, how selfless, without love, it profits a person nothing. So young people, be careful. Words are cheap. People can say whatever they want. You do not identify true love by what somebody says. You do it according to their actions. Spirituality, we can pretend and build a facade of spirituality, but without love, it is nothing. Sacrifice, great and noble, selfless acts of sacrifice, but not motivated by the love of God. God says, doesn't profit anything. Get to the judgment seat. You know what you'll get for that? Nothing. It profits you nothing. And so, again, we are building the case for the importance of agape love. How does agape love behave itself? What are the chief characteristics of agape love? Let's go down through here and look at this in the Bible. Verse number 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself up, and not itself is not puffed up. Let me just give you briefly the character traits. Love in this verse is patient. Okay, so the opposite of being patient is being impatient. So when you're impatient, then you're not exhibiting the agape love of God to that other individual. Love is kind. There's an opposite of kind. It is being unkind. When you're unkind to somebody, then you are not expressing agape love or divine love at that moment in time in your life. What is this doing, preacher? It's allowing us to take our behavior towards people and hold it up to the Bible and say, are we truly sharing the love of God amongst ourselves? Love does not envy, the Bible says. Charity or true love envieth not. It's way too much jealousy in Christianity today. Way too much envy. Way too many people looking over and a big old monster, green-eyed monster of jealousy. And folks, listen to me. That has nothing to do with the love of God. Love does not promote self. Charity vaunteth not itself. And so when you begin to hear these things, you know that that's not love in action. There's a humility that comes with love. It's not puffed up. It's not prideful. So in verse 4, we see love is patient. It's kind. It doesn't envy. Does not promote self. Is not prideful. Verse number 5, doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. 4 more character traits there. Love does not behave itself unseemly, means indecently or shamefully. Love is not selfish. Seeketh not her own, or self-centered. Love does not have a short fuse, is not easily provoked. Love does not premeditate to do wrong. Remember, evil is the premeditated doing of wrong. It doesn't sit around planning and thinking how to do something wrong. So love does not behave itself indecently or shamefully. It's not selfish or self-centered. It doesn't have a short fuse. It does not premeditate to do wrong. Verse 6. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. One great character trait there, love gets excited about the right things. I mean, what makes you happy? What makes you rejoice? Is it truth? Or is it iniquity? I mean, is wrong what gets you excited? Or is doing right what gets you excited? So love gets excited about the right things. Verse 7. Watch this. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love is strong, beareth all things, does not quit when things get hard. Love is trusting, believeth all things, looks for the good instead of the bad in people. Love is optimistic, it trusts God for tomorrow, hopeth all things. Love is tough, endureth all things, it endures instead of complains. And then this wonderful promise in verse 8, charity never faileth. So you know what love does at the end? It commits. It makes a commitment. Because of that, it does not fail. Now, let me see if I can review this. A person can have a velvet tongue. This is basically what we've read and studied so far. They can have a velvet tongue, may seem to be filled with great Bible knowledge and faith, and be constantly sacrificing and giving to others, but if they're not patient and kind, they lack love. If they are envious of others, they lack love. They're full of pride and constantly talking about self, they lack love. If they behave indecently or in a way that brings shame to the Lord, they lack love. If they're selfish and self-centered, they lack love. If they're quick-tempered, they lack love. If they are always trying to figure out how to get by with wrong, they lack love. If they enjoy wrong and seem bored with right, they lack love. If they are quick to quit, distrust, are pessimistic, and constantly complaining, the love of God's not there. So many of the deficiencies in our character, watch this, folks, could be overcome if we just take the time to discover, to access the true meaning of biblical love, practice it in every moment of every day towards all people, then and only then will we have a taste of what it is to be like a holy God. And so I want to challenge you in this area as we look at this, and I know we're not going to have a lot of time tonight, and I'm hurrying through it, but I want to re-educate us for several reasons. Number one, the more that our young people know about true love and hear the description of, from the pulpit, the more they're going to be aware and sensitive to counterfeit love. Now, please, let me just speak to the heart of young ladies and young men that are listening. Folks, countless times in almost 30 years of ministry and 30 years of working with teenagers, I've watched young ladies or young men, but young ladies, I'm just going to tell you something. You're more emotional, and therefore you're a bigger target here. I've watched especially young ladies be fooled by counterfeit love. I mean, I could sit up here and tell you stories of several young ladies, some of us too close to home to share. In my mind, that were destined to be used in a great way for the Lord Jesus Christ. But the devil sends somebody into their life who shows them a little attention, beguiles them with romantic words and gestures, and does it for their own wants, their own desires. There are predators, young ladies, who are looking for young ladies like we're rearing here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I mean, good night. Why wouldn't they want somebody like you? And these sweet young ladies, maybe a little too trusting, maybe a little too naive, maybe they didn't listen. Please hear what I'm going to say. Listen to mom and listen to dad, because your mom and dad's not going to be Twitter pated the same way you are by the trappings, the shallow trappings of pretend love. And so what happens? Well, preacher, yeah, but you don't understand. No, you don't understand. I've been there, done that, had a front row seat to it so many times. You're not the first one. You listen to me. That same young man that's using those words, and I mean, seems all of a sudden to become spiritual. He wants to become spiritual the minute he met a church girl, you know. And by the way, seems so sacrificial and giving. That same young man, after he gets what he wants, will be on his way to find another gullible young lady to deceive. Now, God has something better planned for the young ladies at Blessed Hope Baptist Church than that. And I can save you from everything but yourself. One of these days, you're going to have to make this decision for you. But I'm telling you, you listen to me. Don't you fall for the devil's lies. Don't you fall for the devil's tricks. And you'd say, you know what? I'm going to hold what they say is love up to 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. And I'm going to see whether or not it really is love. I don't know who's where, but I can tell you this. If you're right now in a relationship that's not healthy, it's not biblical, it's not based on biblical love, it's not in the perfect time frame of God's will, then you ought to have the courage to break it off. Be patient, follow Bible principles, seek godly counsel before ever going forward into another relationship. And the honest truth is, I could spend the balance of our time and much more than we have telling you horror story after horror story after horror story. Listen to what this preacher says. God has given you something that you can look at here and you can compare to, and so that you can know what real love is. But also, I believe it's not just important that we learn about love so that we can know what love is not, but so that we can begin to examine our lives and say, am I offering this quality of love to the people in my life that are most important to me? I'm going to have the, can I have some ushers come at this time? And I've made 100 copies. I think we have close to having enough for everybody. And so let's see how we do here. So I'd go ahead and give everybody one. I think that's going to be pretty close. I'd say there's probably about 100 in the auditorium here tonight. So with our Master's Club and everybody else out, I think we'll be okay. I love this, and I've passed this out. It's probably been 4 or 5 years ago that I passed this out to our church, and I came across it in my notes here a while back, and I used it for my own benefit because, boy, it's good this time of year to go through some checkups. But agape love, the paper is entitled Agape Love, Comparing My Love for Others to God's, supposed to say, to God's Love for Me, a typo there, Comparing My Love for Others to God's Love for Me. And you can look through this. Do I love my wife? Now, if you're not married, you can go ahead and skip that part, okay? Do I love my husband? If you're not married, you can go ahead and skip that part too. Do I love my children? If you don't have children, probably not necessary yet. Do I love my parents? I'd say most of you have parents in here. And hopefully many of you, of course, are blessed to still have them alive. Well, here's a good section. Do I love my God? Say, preacher, how do these questions vary? Oh, not that much. Not that much at all. You see, it's the same principles. If you didn't get one of these yet, would you raise your hand? Anybody not get one yet? We'll make sure everybody's taken care of. We've got one here and one at the very back there. How are we doing? We got it. Christina there. And one back in the corner there. Anybody else? Good. Anybody not get one? Raise your hand. All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate that. Okay. I'm not going to go through every one of these lists. So husbands, we're the leaders, right? I mean, come on. We got the broad shoulders, right? We can take this. So let's offer ourselves upon the sacrifice, on the altar of sacrifice here, and we'll use the first set of questions as an example. I wrote these out, and if you'll notice that every single one of these questions correspond to one of the attributes that God says is true agape love. Do I love my wife? There's a little box there. It's there for a reason. That's not decoration. It's a place for you to put a check mark. By the way, I'm not asking you to do it now, especially with your wife sitting there. She probably is tempted right now to take the paper from you and check the ones for you so that she, and that might not be a bad idea. I mean, as long as she allows you to do the next section, I think you can. I'm going to let y'all work that out, you know, whatever. But I'm probably easier on myself than my wife would be, so I'm going to probably do my own, okay? Yes. Can you mark yes? I love my wife. Based on what? On being patient. Love's long-suffering. I'm patient with my wife. She does not have to suffer belittlement by being made to feel that what she does or who she is never good enough. And that's what impatience does. Somebody that's constantly impatient with somebody, it has a very belittling effect on that person to the point where no matter what they do, after a while, they feel like, I can't measure up. I'm patient with my wife. I can check that, preacher. And if not, by the way, watch this. This isn't something that I'm giving you so that you can feel like a failure. Remember, what are we doing? We're laying the groundwork for a new year. I need to rightly judge so that I can rightly improve. And so in that matter of patience, yes, I can check mark that daily I say kind things to her, try to do kind things for her. I'm actively kind. Remember, folks, kindness is not the absence of being unkind, but an active, positive thing that you actually do. Yes, watch this. I'm not jealous or envious when she does well or receives praise. Jealousy and envy really hurts a lot of marriages. I'm just going to tell you, it really does. Gentlemen, if you're just constantly eat up with jealousy over your wife, then you need to address that. Okay, I mean, you really do. Wives, let me just say this. You ought not to ever do anything that would cause your husband to have feel jealousy or envy. But at the same time, I know guys that no matter what they do, the woman is just, listen, Sometimes it's because of something that's happened in your life. Sometimes it's because of something that happened in your parents' life. Sometimes you've been hurt somewhere along the line, and now you've got such a level of distrust that you're making everybody crazy. Okay, listen, I decided a long time ago, I've got to decide whether I'm going to trust my wife or not. I'm going to decide whether I can trust my wife or not. Say, preacher, aren't you worried? And no. Yeah, but aren't you eat up? I mean, you're out of town sometimes. Yeah. So what doesn't that know? You know why? Because that's not agape love. That's not agape love, okay? All right. What? How about the next one? Yes. I do not brag on myself, but brag on her. Okay, we're talking about these attributes of agape love. Does not promote self. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. So I don't brag on myself. You know, there's certain character types, certain types of people that it's just hard to be around for any amount of time. One of them is a braggart. And folk and gentlemen, let me just stress that with us men, because we tend to be the ones that's most guilty of that. And that really comes from insecurity. If you've always got to be, you know, puffing yourself up, that's an insecurity problem. You know, somebody that is a man and is secure in their own manhood does not have to spend their entire life either puffing themselves up or trying to get everybody around them to puff themselves up. I mean, you need to be secure in your relationship with God, know who you are as a child of God, and forget that stuff. She does not have to endure my pride or arrogance. It's not puffed up, vaunteth not itself. And number next, I guess they're not numbered. Yes, I do not embarrass her by acting or speaking inappropriately at home in public. I put a little note on the side of that one. Work on this, because I do have a tendency to embarrass my wife sometimes. So I told you I'm perfecting this thing, okay? I'm working harder at it. All right, I am. I'm working harder. I'm going to be better in 2016. I'm more interested in her benefiting from our relationship than my benefit. One of the things that I counsel married couples, I'm going to tell you something. Some people, you know, you run into couples that are just competitive, you know. And you get two competitive people that marry each other. It's just interesting. And it's from a counselor standpoint, it's entertaining. It really is. And so what do you do with people that are competitive? You know, they just, the lady's kind of competitive, the man's kind of competitive. Then you let them be competitive, and here's what they need to compete in. I look at the lady, and I say, you need to outdo him. And she's like, yeah. And I said, this is how you need to do it. You need to make him happier than he can make you. Now, you're not going to let her do that, are you? Oh, no. She ain't winning. You know, it's amazing how many husbands spend their entire lives and wives spend their entire lives trying to keep each other from winning. I mean, really, why don't you just decide that you're going to win at this? You're going to make her happier than she could ever make you. My wife says, I love you. She says that almost every day of our lives. And many times I'll answer her by telling her, I love you more. And it's true. There's no way in the world that she could possibly love me as much as I love her. And you folks that know the both of us could totally understand why that would be. That would be the case. She's more lovable than I am. So what are we talking about? We're talking about agape love. Agape love doesn't enter into a relationship saying, what does she need to do for me? It's what can I do for her? Yes, I can answer yes. I'm not quick to anger. She does not endure anger, angry words or angry looks from me. Folks, listen to me. Listen, again, we're not throwing rocks. I'm just saying, if this is a besetting sin in your life, and it is with some people, then you have to ask God to give you victory of that in 2016. You need to get victory over that. The wrath of man never accomplishes the will of God. It just doesn't. And anger probably has done more to damage relationships. And so, again, that's not how love conducts itself. How about this? Yes. For her, I discipline my thought life to exclude that which is injurious, evil, harmful, depraved, or lewd. Why do you do that, gentlemen? We do that because we love our wives. How about this next one? I see to it that she has a husband that takes no joy in wrong or unrighteousness, but takes great joy in speaking and living truth. Yes, I patiently bear the burdens of life and to protect her from them. And, you know, the Bible says it beareth all things. Gentlemen, you know what? That's our responsibility. There's a lot of things that I need to just carry and I need to bear and I need to protect my wife from. And you know what? That's my job. That's who I am. I'm the leader of the house. And so I don't complain about that. True love does that. I don't try to dump everything off on her that I don't want to have to do or bear or deal with. I put it on my shoulders. I try as much as possible to make her life easy. Yes, my wife knows that my trust is in the Lord for our spiritual well-being. Yes, I gave her a husband who is positive and confidently believes the best for our future. Folks, listen to me. If you're kind of a pessimist by nature, ask God to help you to turn that thing around in 2016. But what happened to believeth all things, hopeth all things, okay? It's much easier to live your life with someone that's got a positive attitude than it is someone that has a negative attitude. How about this one? Yes, I strive to show my wife that I have the character and fortitude to persevere through whatever hardships we must face. And beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And this is very important, the last one. Yes, I assure her often that I am committed to her for life, that my love for her will never fail. Love never faileth. And one of the things that ought to be communicated between anybody that you love is that this isn't a short-term deal. This is forever. You know, folks, listen, our love, the love that God has for us, it never fails. There's nothing I can do that caused God to stop loving me. Let me say it again. There's nothing I can do that causes God that could cause God to stop loving me. Let me say it again. There's nothing I can do that would cause God to stop loving me. And that's true of you too. Oh, preacher, I don't think God loves me. You've been fed a lie of the devil. He loves you. It's impossible for you to do anything that would cause God to stop loving you. Let me say it again. It's impossible for you to do anything that would cause God to keep from loving you. Now, I want you to become convinced of that. If you can become convinced of that, you can also then become convinced that that kind of a love is available from God to be shared with other people. Now, you can take the time, ladies, to read the next list. I love this next little section on Do I Love My Children? You know, agape love is something that can be extended beyond the marriage boundaries. We ought to show our children agape love. Children, young people, I want you to take a look at Do I Love My Parents? I want you to really take time. And this is kind of a message that's given you something to take home. And like I said, in the month of December, we got to put different areas of our lives under the microscope and say, where am I and how do I need to improve? But young people, I would love for you, and I mean this, don't fall for the lie of the devil and the lie of the culture that says that, you know what, it's impossible for teenagers to have a sweet and loving relationship with mom and dad. That is such a lie. And you know what? Don't let the devil destroy that between you and your parents. So go through this question and ask this list and ask yourself this. How about this next section? Do I love my God? Boy, what a convicting thing right there. When you turn this agape love back to God and read down through this, then you know what? It really shines a spotlight, at least it did in my life, on areas that I just want to get on my knees and say, God, I'm not doing that. You deserve that from me. And so that. And then I've got the last little section here, Do I Love? And you can put any other group in there, your fellow church members, your Sunday school class members. You can put extended family, friends, young ladies, young men, as when you get to that time in life, when it's time to look for that one that God's created for you, this is a good checklist to keep on file somewhere, because as much as the devil and the world and Hollywood wants to pollute this subject of love, aren't you glad that we have a chapter called the Love Chapter that tells us exactly what the love of God does? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time that we have been allowed to have tonight. And Lord, the message tonight, very simple, very concise. Lord, it doesn't really take a long time to deliver it. It just takes a long time to kind of sort through it. And I pray, Lord, that we would take the time. We have some extra time in the holidays. There'll be perhaps a little bit of a change of schedule, maybe some days, some mornings that we wouldn't normally have, some evenings we wouldn't normally have, to just spend some time with you. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us. We need, dear God, a baptism of agape love in our lives. As we read at the beginning of this message, how in the world can we do anything that validates the Christian life without the love of God? And so I pray that you would very tenderly, yet very specifically, work in each of our lives, dear God, so that we can be better for you and better one to another. We pray these things in Jesus' name.